book of Matthew, chapter number 27. We want to begin reading in the 11th verse. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And when they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas, therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. This morning I've had these gentlemen carry these seats out before us, and I just wanted to set this seat on the right hand of the pulpit. And we put this purple robe on it to represent Jesus standing this morning, maybe even before Pilate, or standing before you and I. And what a holy thing to know that Jesus always stands in our midst. Pilate, we know, was the governor of all Judea. Jesus had been arrested and he had been brought before Pilate. Pilate was faced with the Lord Jesus. And Pilate's going to have to make a decision regarding Jesus. And Pilate represents every one of us. First of all, there were some voices that Pilate perceived. When Jesus was brought before Pilate, and Pilate had interviewed and interrogated and examined him, Pilate found no fault with Jesus. You'll never find anybody that will find fault with Jesus. I think the first thing that confronted Pilate that day was a voice of reason. In verse number 18, Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered Jesus. He knew that there was a reason the chief priests and the scribes had Jesus arrested and brought before Pilate. And he knew that was all out of envy, and that there was nothing in our Savior that would cause them to want to convict him. So he knew it was a voice of reason that said, this is a just man. In verse 19, a voice of a loved one came, and he heard his wife's words when she said, have nothing to do with that just man. Even his wife tried to warn him about Jesus. Have you ever had a loved one tell you about Jesus? I have.
I heard mom and dad praying over me. I heard them requesting prayer for me that I'd be saved. The preacher would stand up, a loved one, and share the word of God with me. I think about grandma and grandpa, grandma being here today, and how many times she stood to share the word of God with me. Even there was a time in my life when I backslid away from where I once walked with the Lord, and grandma told me that I'd need to get right with God. And I didn't want to hear it, but I'm telling you, there have been loved ones that's told us that we need to be careful with our walk with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe he also heard the voice of his conscience when he asked the question, why and what evil hath he done? He knew he could find no fault with Jesus. And in doing so, he decided that he would simply take a basin of water and wash his hands to say, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. His conscience was pressing him because he knew who Jesus was. And rather than humble himself and make Jesus his Lord and Savior, he tried to wash his hands of making a decision for Christ. You may be here today, and you may hear the gospel message that Jesus loves you and died on a cross for your sin and was buried and on the first day of the week rose again. And you'll have a decision to make, and you can't say, I'm not going to decide today. I'm going to wash my hands of this and I'm going to leave. You see, you are responsible for what you've heard, and Jesus loves you. And he has died for your sins. I think about the text in John 18, if you would hold your place in Matthew. And look at John 18 in a parallel passage regarding Jesus standing before Pilate. There's another voice he's heard besides the voice of reason and the voice of a loved one and the voice of his conscience. He heard the voice of Jesus himself. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate had heard the voice of Jesus speaking with him, and he said, verse 38, what is truth? He rejected the Lord. When I got saved, the Holy Ghost convicted me of my sin, and Jesus began to knock, even asking if I would let him to come in. Oh, I heard the voice of Jesus, that still small voice, inviting me to be saved. Listen, I've never heard him speak audibly, but I've heard him speak to my heart, and I've heard the voice of Jesus. And if you're saved today, you've heard the greatest voice that you'll ever hear, the voice of Jesus. I want to turn back to Matthew chapter 27, and I want us to see secondly this morning some of the values that Pilate prized. What was it that caused Pilate to dismiss or to reject Jesus? I want to say that it was public opinion. In verse 20 of that chapter, the scripture says, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. In other words, these chief priests and elders were going through the great congregation of the multitude and trying to get the folks to scream out, release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. And according to Mark 15:15, and Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. You see, Pilate was more pressed about public opinion than he was about making his own decision for Jesus. When it comes down to heaven or hell for you, public opinion will not matter. It is what did you do with Jesus. What shall I do then with Christ? Friend, you cannot let public opinion persuade you. I could read to you out of the book of John, chapter number 19, that it was the pride of Pilate that kept him from being saved. The scripture says he went again into the judgment hall, and he saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and that I have the power to release thee?" You see, Pilate was impressed with the power that Pilate had. Pilate said to Jesus, he said, "You won't speak to me, Jesus? I have the power to crucify you, and I have the power to have you released today." But the scripture says that Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Jesus said, "Pilate, you'd have no power at all if the Father, my Father, didn't give you the power that you have to serve now as this Roman governor." I think about his position and his possessions in verse 12. "From thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, 'If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend.'" You see, Pilate would like to let Jesus go, but he's worried about public opinion, and he's filled up with his pride, and he knows that if he lets Jesus go, the people are going to go to the Caesar and say, "You are not Caesar's friend," and he'll lose his position, and he'll be stripped of his possessions. Friend, I'm telling you, I'd rather have Jesus as all this world has to offer. But for some people, it's such a hard decision to let the things, the cares, the prizes, the possessions, the pride, the positions of this world go, that we might walk with Jesus. But one day, you will be forever sorry that you've rejected our Savior. There are values that we prize more than Jesus, and it is disgusting. I think thirdly this morning about the verdict that Pilate presented. The scripture says that he delivered him to be crucified. Now I can read, let's turn here, John 18, that there was a time that Pilate tried to get out of making this decision. According to the scripture, in John chapter number 18, he tried to ignore Jesus. When the chief priests and the scribes brought Jesus to Pilate, in verse 31, Pilate said, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." In other words, "I don't want to even be troubled with this matter." A lot of people don't want to be troubled with the matter about being saved or continuing on living a life in sin. They try to ignore sin. But friend, this morning, you cannot ignore your sin, nor can you ignore the Savior who died for your sins and mine. Jesus died for the sins of the entire world, and you cannot ignore that fact. The Bible says, "The Jews therefore said unto him, 'It is not lawful for us to put any man to death.'" Then I think out of Luke 23, not only did Pilate try to ignore the fact, a lot of times I've preached in the pulpit, and people have tried to ignore the message that Jesus saves. But I think about Luke 23, where Pilate tried to shift the blame on somebody else. In Luke 23 and verse number 6, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod. So what Pilate did was, when he heard that Jesus was from Galilee, Pilate said, "That's Herod's jurisdiction. That's Harry's decision to make and not mine. You'll come to church and the Holy Ghost will convict you and the Lord Jesus will knock on your heart's door and you will try to shift the blame and say, I hope those boys on the front row get it. I hope the people in the section beside me and the people behind me are getting it. That message is for them. But I say to you today that the message that Jesus saves is pertinent and pressing to all the world today. And you cannot shift the blame to somebody else. According to verse number 14, the Bible, verse 13, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, and this man touching those things, wherefore you accuse him. In other words, he said, okay, you've brought Jesus to me. I've heard what you've said. I even heard his voice as I interrogated him. And I, filled with pride, and I, filled with position, I have heard this message, and I have examined at Jesus, and I find no fault in him. He did not want to make a decision. He's trying to remain neutral. I don't want to say, yes, I need to be saved. I'm not really saying no either. But I want to say to you this morning that an indecision is still a decision. There is no remaining neutral about Jesus Christ. And Pilate, in his attempt to remain neutral, even washed his hands trying to comfort and soothe his conscience and drive away what God was dealing with him about and said, see, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. I would remind you what Jesus said about your neutrality, about your indecision. In Matthew 12:30, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Number four this morning, I want you to see the verity, that means truth, the verity that Pilate passed over. Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate said unto him, what is truth? Jesus is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And Pilate simply chose to pass over the truth. Now they had a shameful trial. It was a mockery. But this morning, real quick, I want to call some folks to the witness stand about Jesus. And I do it very humbly this morning. I want us to have a real trial. I ask that the Lord would send angels from heaven and gather around this building that they might testify to the verity that Jesus is the truth. And I'd ask one of them, whether it be Gabriel or Michael or whoever God would send, would sit down in that seat and tell us, what do you think about this man named Jesus? Hear the angels say, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thank you, angels. Would you gather and stay with us? I would ask that John the Baptist would be called. The scripture says that among them that were born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. John, would you tell us what do you think about this man named Jesus? He turns and looks and says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Thank you, John, for your truthful testimony. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall everything be established. And by the witness of the angels, and by the witness of John the Baptist, That should be enough. But I asked John, the beloved disciple, that great apostle, if he would come and sit in this seat for just a moment. John, what do you have to say about Jesus? John turns and looks and he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Hallelujah. We saw Him. Our hands have touched Him. We've been with Him. He is Christ the Lord. Thank you, John. I want to ask one of the other disciples to come, Simon Peter. Simon Peter, would you sit in that seat? Would you state your name? Yes, it's Simon Peter. What do you think about Christ? He looks and he says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah this morning. Well, preacher, those are all men. Simon, you can be excused. I call up a woman by the name of Martha, a woman who Jesus and his disciples had come to her house many times. She had a brother named Lazarus that died. She had a sister named Mary that sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha, would you tell me what you think about this man or what you believe to know is true about this man named Jesus? She turns and says, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Thank you, Martha. I asked Thomas, that old doubting disciple, would you come, Thomas, and sit in this seat? Thomas sits down. And Thomas, now, word has it everywhere. And it's true that you're a doubter. And you've doubted this man Jesus numerous times. Tell us in your own words, Thomas, what you believe to be true about Jesus. And he gets out of the witness stand and he bows on his knee and he says, my Lord and my God. Thomas, do you have any doubts? Not anymore. I ask a man named Stephen. Stephen, would you come as you preach to the church and many Jews, they got riled up at you. What would you tell us about Jesus? He said, as they got ready to stone me, he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Thank you, Stephen. What about Apostle Paul? We heard you met him on the Damascus Road. He said, let me tell you what I learned. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Paul, do you really believe that? Oh, I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. All those were friends of Christ. What about his enemies? Oh, angels, stand with us. And the Holy Ghost, stand with us. But we would ask a demon. Maybe you would take the seat before us, demon. You tell us, what do you think about this man named Jesus? Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. You can see the demon as he hisses back in the chair. He don't want to be here in this place. A place that's filled with the praises and the prayers made to Almighty God. And legion, that man stands up and says, oh yes, you had control of me, but I met a man named Jesus and threw the demons out into the swine. And the demons run out of the stand this morning. I ask a Pharisee to come. What will you say about this man, Jesus? I'll tell you right now, this man receiveth sinners. That'll do. How about Caiaphas, the high priest? What do you say about this man, Jesus? He said, I am the Son of God. That'll do. What about the centurion who is over the crucifixion at the cross. Bring him in, and he sits down and takes off his Roman hat and says, truly, this man is the Son of God. I saw things that day as I beat him, as we scourged him, as we slapped him, as we put him on the cross. We saw events take place that time would forbid me to tell you all that happened. Truly, this man is the Son of God. Let's bring up Judas Iscariot. Judas, you walked with Jesus. You were the treasure of the group. What do you have to say about this man? I've sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. Innocent blood. You're excused. I think about myself this morning. Darren, what would you have to say about this man named Jesus? I'd tell you that I love him. And I worship him. I'm just a rotten old sinner. And Jesus went to a cross and died. Took upon himself my sin. And was buried in my place. And on the first day of the week he rose again. And he came to me one night at Balfour Baptist Church. And when I bowed at his feet, he saved me from all my sins. And my life has been forever changed because of this man Jesus. I've not always lived for him like I should. I've not always worshiped like I should. I've not always prayed like I should. But he's been the difference in my life. And he's been the lover of my soul and the forgiver of my sin. I wonder this morning, church, if I was to come through and say to you, do you have a word about Jesus? Could you take the stand and what could you tell? Preacher, I don't want to do that. Oh, you have to. Every one of us I've called to the stand. What will you say about Jesus? Is there somebody here that'd say, preacher, I tell you what. I'd sit there and say, I love him. I met him and he changed my life. Preacher, he saved me from the devil's hell. It's why I'm gathered in the house of God today. And I give testimony in his house that he saved my sin-sick soul. The Bible says this in 1 John 5:9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Can I read that again? If we receive the witness of men, we've heard from men, the witness of God is greater. For this, your Bible, for this is the witness of God, which hath testified of his Son. If we could do it today, God Almighty, as humbly as I know how, would you take the stand and would you tell this congregation, God the Father, what you have to say about this man named Jesus? As he sits in that seat, he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.